Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inside Scoop Live. Hello, I'm Susan Violante. I'm your host for today. I'm really excited to be speaking on the phone with Anurupa Sinar, author of Burning for Freedom. Through her novel, Sinar presents to the world Savarkar's life, a true freedom patriot of India who was deleted from history. But before we start, let's learn a little bit more about Anurupa. Anurupa, originally from India, described herself as an ordinary American and a mother who lives in Massachusetts with her family and works as a kitchen designer. After reading a biography of Savarkar, Anurupa embarked in a journey to reveal the truth about his life to the world. Through the process of researching and writing Burning for Freedom, Anurupa found within her a loud voice that prompts the world to pursue the truth. For more information on Anurupa and her book, visit anurupasinar.com, and that is www.anurupasinar.com. Hi, Anurupa. How are you today?
I'm fine.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Yeah, it's a wonderful opportunity for me to connect with my readers and talk to them.
Anurupa, I wanted to start this interview from maybe having our listeners learn a little bit of who you are. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I'm really just a very ordinary person, just leading a normal life. I'm a widow with three kids and a kitchen designer by work. But one day I read about Savarkar, a freedom fighter of India, a really very great freedom fighter of India. And I was so moved by his story. I was so inspired by him and all the injustice that had happened to him in the politics of India really bothered me so much that I decided to write a novel.
So who is Savarkar?
He was one of the greatest freedom fighters of India, but the history of India does not portray him like that, because he came, was against the politics of the Congress, which was the leading national party of India, has been the leading national party of India for several years now and was the leading party before independence. And he crossed them because he wanted to teach Indians what the real truth was. He was fighting for a united India. And with that, he put himself against the Congress, and they ended up crucifying him.
Wow.
So he got deleted from history, almost.
Yeah.
Almost deleted.
I wonder, I wrote a story about my father when he was a little boy and learned a lot about fascism while I was doing the research with him.
Yeah.
And it learning about all that stuff really changed my point of views and basically changed my life. So I wonder, all the things that you learned in your research about Savarkar, how did it change your life? How did it change you?
I really have been so profoundly moved. It's changed me in the way I project myself. Because before, I was living very quietly, kept my opinions to myself. Though I followed the truth and did the right things, I did not necessarily speak out. I did not come out to the public and say, this is what I feel, this is the truth, and this is what I will do. I just kept it all to myself. And now I find that I'm not doing that anymore, because I see that if there is a truth, it needs to be told, and one must do it. Just sitting quietly and accepting it and admitting to yourself is not enough. This is what I feel. I feel you have to get out there, and even if people are going to oppose you or whatever it is, you have to do it.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. I used to be the same way.
Yeah, because it's very difficult.
I know, and now I won't shut up.
Yeah.
But it is amazing how, remarkable people can be deleted from history.
Yes, because history is all about who is in power, not about who is really great.
Mm-hmm.
So the ones who are in power are not necessarily the best personalities I have found.
Wow. Tell us a little bit about this research that you did. What did you learn about researching somebody else's life, especially, when it must have been difficult because he was deleted from the India history?
Yes. He was deleted from the official history.
Mm-hmm.
But Savarkar himself believes that he should record everything that happened, and he has a 50-year history fighting for India itself, and he lived many years after that. So he made it a great point to record, except for one phase in his life, he has recorded everything.
Wow.
Just for this reason, that history will delete him. And there are a few people who have been writing, so there is material available, but it is not, because the funds are less or for some reasons like that, it's not widely available. But if you know where to go, you can find it. The other difference is the age of technology. Simply so much of the material, source material is available on the internet now. And the secret files are being published, are open to the public. The British Library is allowing people to have access to all these files. So even if history is deleting, the preserved documentation is there.
So did you find all this information like in English or other languages, or how did you come up with all the information that you found? Was it in the Indian language or
the personal life, Savarkar's personal life and details like that? I found mostly in Marathi, but historical details I read some in Marathi, some even in Hindi, and in English. There is a lot of it in English. I read all the biographies of the viceroys as well. Because there is a lot of material, there is their viewpoint to consider too. It's, you know, when you're doing research, you can't just look at one angle. So I looked at Savarkar's angle, I looked at Congress angle, I looked at Gandhi angle, I looked at the British angle, I looked at the viceroys, what they had to say as well. And it was all there. Thank God people, especially the British, they really record their biographies, and I think it's wonderful.
So you've started writing, your book is a novel. So tell us a little bit about your book.
I call it a novel because I've written it in a story form.
Mm-hmm.
But really every single episode, almost every single episode is a real incident. There are very few because I have a fictional hero. So there are a few like his romance and things like that are not real. And I have made it very clear in a chapter called Author's Note. So I wrote it in a story form because I felt that's how I could grab the people's attention. If I just write a biography, because I wasn't a writer to begin with, and I didn't think I could do justice to a biography. I mean, I didn't think anybody would read, especially because nobody knows who Savarkar is.
Yes.
So that's why I wrote it in a story form, because the stories are very interesting. There is a lot of, you can say, drama in the stories. There is a whole torture going on in the jail. There are riots, which are really horrifying riots. And there are things that, people can read maybe to just get shocked, to get moved. And the whole political scene is so, for me, it was really quite devastating to research it. I mean, I cried through the research of it all. It was so moving and upsetting for me. But that makes it interesting to read because you want to know that. You don't want just cookie-cutter story. This
yeah.
one definitely isn't that.
Yeah, and your book title is Burning for Freedom, and I encourage everybody to visit your website at www.anurupasinha.com, and that is AnurupaSinha.com. Anurupa, tell me something. When you learn about this history that was, when you uncovered this history, let me put it that way,
yeah.
And you realize, that there are unsung heroes, were you already outside India or were you still in India?
Oh, I was outside India and for many years, actually.
Yeah. So it's amazing because that happened to me too, and I regretted not knowing that when I was in my father's country, and he's Italian. So how did you feel about that?
I actually felt that it was a good thing. I'm writing as an American because I'm not sure that I could have been able to write and get away with it as an Indian. Mm-hmm. Because it's not a story. There is so much bias against writing about Savarkar and, for that matter, about exposing Gandhi, both. And this bias is coming from everybody. Even this is the mindset of the people as well.
Yeah.
So I was really glad that I am here and I felt confident of doing justice because I'm an American.
Yeah.
So I was very glad about that.
I found also that when we discover something that turns our it suddenly turns on our passion about, you know, yourself and being free. Did you apply some of this uncovered and new passions that you got about telling the truth? And did you apply it to your own life? Do you find yourself that you're doing things differently for yourself?
Yes, I am actually doing things differently. For example, just last year I had a concern, you can say a clash, over my little son's teacher in the school. And I took up a stand to bring justice to him. It was very difficult. And I was alone because I didn't have to, but I did do it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure that I would not have done it otherwise, but I know that I had a certain confidence of doing it, and that is because of how I have developed in the last 3 years. Just because I'm speaking my mind and I've decided I'm going to tell the truth, and that has given me a lot of confidence. Whatever was inside me is now also on the outside. I feel free to be able to do things. I feel I can do things.
Yeah. And I know, you know, from your bio that I got from you, that you also have a not-so-much fun portion of your life where you went through domestic violence and abuse. And how did this new strength help you view that part of your life?
That particular part of my life I had already dealt with, and I think it's the other way around, that because I had dealt with that part of my life, that is why I could write this novel, read about it, and that's why I have the strength to do this. So that actually is happening the other way around. I learned a lot about myself, what I can accomplish, what I can do, how much I can push myself, which I realized I can push myself just as much as I need to push. There is no limit. So I learned that strength before, within myself. And that's why I could even attempt this. Because I was really starting from a zero position. I didn't have many friends. I didn't have any contacts. I didn't know how I was going to do it, but I knew I was going to do it. So I think it is my past, the difficult past, all of the difficulties that I had in my life that helped me. I had a very miserable time in my first marriage and really had to pick up my pieces by myself. And before I was 40, when I was 39, my husband, second husband, passed away when I was pregnant with my third child. It was a very, very difficult period, and I learned so much about myself. And that I feel as if that all that prepared me to do justice to Savarkar.
Well, so you know what? It's a strong woman discover Savarkar, not the other way around.
That's really how I feel.
Yeah.
I really feel.
Yeah. And
we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Inside Scoop Live is a global internet-based broadcast specializing in interviewing published authors about their current books and areas of expertise. Join us and hear both well-known and upcoming writers talking candidly about their life experience as well as the business of being an author in today's literary world. Always interesting and current, we strive to bring our audience high-quality discussions that spotlight a vast diversity of authors in the field today. Our interviews are available 24/7 through direct podcast as well as MP3 download for your convenience. Please visit us on InsideScoopLive.com.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Today I'm talking with Anarupa Sinar, author of Burning for Freedom. Stay tuned because we are going to continue this inspiring conversation with Anarupa and learn more about the manipulation of truth by governments and the pursuit of truth, as well as get an insight on this amazing woman and her own experience of domestic violence. But in the meantime, you can check out her book, Burning for Freedom, by visiting her website at anarupasinar.com, and that is www.anarupasinar.com. In my case, I knew I was strong, but I just didn't have I think it was the passion or the motivation to kind of pursue things, and I just went away, you know, went along with whatever. And it was discovering the strong women in my family, like my grandmother, and discovering their story through the war, and that totally gave me the strength that I needed to pursue my own dreams and do everything differently in my life. So I was very impressed by you, because you not only conquered your fears and your insecurities and got yourself out of that horrible phase of your life, but you also helped for 5 years others.
Yes, I have to say that when I see friends in who have domestic abuse problems, I really can't bear it. It's really difficult, because I know how alone one can be in that life, and also know that people just hesitate to help you because they don't want that interruption in their own life, and one can't necessarily blame them because everybody's life is so stressful. So yeah, when I have for 5 years, one after the other, I did give very strong support for two of my friends, and they are now in a good place, and that I'm very happy about that. But it was very difficult. There was one time when the husband's families were trying to put me in jail.
Wow.
Supporting. The other time, one of the friend's family came right over and just spat all over me. Just to show their dislike, or they wanted to get rid of me. They wanted to frighten me off. So just came right up and just spat.
Yeah. What would you say to somebody that's in that situation, that finds herself all alone and doesn't know how to find strength within her? What would you tell her?
I would first tell her to start focusing on herself inside, because when you're in that position, it's hard to do anything. You have to first learn that strength. You have to first of all learn that no matter how afraid you are, how scared you are, somewhere inside you, you have to start building up little by little, even if it's secretly, that strength that you have to want to do something. And you really have to be lucky enough to find somebody else, because you really need somebody. It's very hard to do it by yourself. You need to need somebody to reach out to you, even if it's the domestic violence hotline.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't do anything unless you want to do something. So that journey needs to be there. For that reason, it is my dream that at least I want to start something online, because people who are in this situation, domestic abuse situation, are generally so alone. But nowadays, they have access to internet. I'm hoping that one can reach them like that, is that in their own life they don't find anybody, at least they can find through cyberspace. And that's how they can build up little by little.
Yeah.
That strength to reach that place.
So you have daughters?
I have one daughter and two sons.
Well, they have a great example in you. So
thank you.
I'm very impressed by your story. Tell me something. What do you hope for an American audience to get out of your book?
I really hope that because I truly believe that if there is anywhere in the world that people like to stick up for truth and justice, it is over here. I really truly believe that, and that's one of the things that that's why I'm here, and I'm an American, and I'm not in India, being an Indian. So I really hope to touch that part of the Americans so that they will understand and they will learn and they will appreciate who Savarkar was.
And they will guard that freedom to be, you know, justice and true.
Yeah, and then with that, Savarkar will get it. I mean, I want to tap what's there in the Americans for Savarkar.
So do you think that Savarkar would be proud of how India is right now, the politics, or would he not be?
Oh, he would not be. I mean, Savarkar was so upright, and he had such specific goals that he would not be. But whatever India was, he was happy that it was a free India.
Mm-hmm.
When we got independence, he put those differences aside, and he said, whatever the independence is, at least we have got it, and we work from here forward. We are still a free country. So he wasn't going to battle the government or anything. He was going to work within the Constitution.
Yeah, wow. how do you contrast American history and India history? I try always to find, you know, cultural similarities between my own background.
You've asked me such a good question, because more than the history, I'm going to give you an example of the attitude of the government and the people.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the Minuteman Museum over here in Boston,
mm-hmm.
and they had this. They have this beautiful museum. They have a film clip. They have done a beautiful show for the Boston Massacre.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so moved by it, because when I saw the story, there were five soldiers, I think, who had got killed in an accident that was, from what I understood, maybe even not deliberately done. But they have so revered there. They so appreciate the life that was lost for the cause of America that we are appreciating, Americans are appreciating, the government is appreciating. Now if you contrast that with India, millions have died and nobody cares. They don't even want to talk about it today. In fact, they want to say that nobody was killed. And that this is not just the government. Government is certainly doing it, but so are the people. And I really said this is a major, major difference. And this is a difference that is just in, people really don't care, because I've been talking to a lot of people about this. They don't care. It's not just Savarkar. They don't care about so many freedom fighters. They don't care about the innocent people who died for the cause of nonviolence. And there have been very many. And this was a big difference. And I really felt, I said, wow, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody should be like this, that they, like the United States, where we appreciate that even one person who loses blood, who dies for the country, who does anything, has to be appreciated, has to be, given great respect. That is entirely missing in Indian history, except for those in power who want to project themselves like that.
Yeah, and it's sad. It's really sad when you see that happen.
I find it a little more than sad also. I find that right now, I mean, I didn't always feel like this. I've been feeling like this for 3 years. That maybe I should do something in my way to change. That's why I'm trying to speak out the truth. And people are heavily discouraging me, I can tell you.
Yeah, and, Burning for Freedom, it's based on the story of Savarkar, but it can actually relate to any history, any culture.
Yes.
Because every nation has unsung heroes like Savarkar.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And the people need to know these stories to get inspired. And so I really, really admire what you're doing with this. Where can people find Burning for Freedom?
Right now, the book is only available online.
Mm-hmm.
But it's available on almost any preferred online store. But it's definitely available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. So it's not available in stores as yet.
Yes.
So.
And I encourage everybody to also visit your website. And again, it's anurupasinar.com, and that is www.anurupasinar.com. Anurupa, we're running out of time, but before we go, I want you to, what message would you want to leave all the youth of the nations about truth and justice and how to pursue it?
I really would like, ideally, that everybody in their own way, in whatever small way, big or small, take that step to try telling the truth, to try facing some troubles that come your way instead of running away or hiding or avoiding. I said, if each person does this in their own individual way, collectively, it will make a big difference. And the peace goals that we always have, I feel, can only come if there is truth, real truth, not the truth that is not a facade. And that has to come one by one from each person. And it's not an easy thing to do, because pressure, peer pressure, society pressure, all kinds of pressures are there. But one must take the first step.
Very well said. Very well said. And I couldn't agree more, especially on the today's youth self-absorbed culture, where the internet, instead of connecting us a lot, it's showing actually that it's not used properly, it actually isolates you because it turns everything about yourself, you know, just posting stuff about yourself that it's make it relevant and it's better that way, you know, find your true self and put it out there and keep searching for the truth. So very well said. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed talking to you. I really think that the audience is going to be enlightened by your views and your awakening and how you pursue. So thank you so much for being with us. And to you listeners, again, thank you so much for being here in Inside Scoop Live with Anurupa Sinar. And until next time.